pressing the dials. All right, what I'd like to do, Wolfgang, is ask you a little bit about your background, why you came to the U.S., what your view was of the IR program here, etc. But I've got a list of questions, and it would be easiest for me simply to go through them. First, I wonder if you tell me a bit about your background, where you went to school, where you did your Ph. work, etc.
I'm a sociologist. I went to school at Frankfurt University from 1966 to 1972. And then I left with a diploma, which is something between a master's and a doctoral degree, to go to Columbia for 2 years as a graduate student. Originally, I intended to complete my PhD at Columbia, but then I got a very attractive job offer in Germany, went back to Germany, and then took my PhD at the University of Frankfurt sometime in the 1970s, where I wasn't a full-time student, but I did this sort of as an external student, right? And in 1976, I joined the Wissenschaftszentrum in Berlin, where I worked on labor relations and labor markets, and I, among other things, I wrote a book on German industrial relations in the car industry, which you became aware of, and so we met, I think, at a conference in the United States,
right,
where you asked me whether I was interested in going to Madison. I think that was something like the story.
Right. Okay. Yes, I think I do remember our first several meetings when we were trying to negotiate things. How would you describe the field of industrial relations in Germany, since you're still actively involved in labor relations and your writings?
It is a field that is divided between sociologists and lawyers and legal. The discipline of law, labor law in particular, it is the typically European situation that you do not have a discipline of industrial relations as such.
Right.
Increasingly, however, there's also economists interested in the subject. So labor economics has begun to spread from the United States to other countries, and labor economists here also take note of institutions and the way in which institutions regulate labor markets. So now I would say it is sort of divided equally in three, between three disciplines, law, economics, and sociology, or political science. I put the two together, but there is no integrated discipline of industrial.
Right. Interesting. Okay. What prompted your interest in coming to the U.S. To join us?
When I was a student, I just mentioned I was a graduate student at Columbia for 2 years. These were the best years of my life as a as a student. It was really a fascinating time, and I became one of those Europeans who fall in love with the United States. Don't be surprised, continues up to the present day, regardless of whoever you elect as president, okay?
Oh, yes, okay. Right.
And so that was one thing, and the other thing was that both schools that I was invited to join, the sociology department and the Industrial Relations Institute, both were well known to me in advance. Of course, the Soc department was and still is the leading sociology department in the United States and I think in the world. And the Industrial Relations Institute, I had met Everett Casalow several times. I admired Everett a lot for his work and for his personality. And I was simply quite flattered to succeed Everett in a sense in his position. That was also very attractive.
What were your expectations about what would happen after you got here? Did you have any particular expectations?
My expectation was to be to have excellent students and to be able to do research, and both of these expectations were really met. And I see I had a somewhat unusual career by United States standards, by America, by European standards, not so much. When I returned from Columbia, I went to a research center that was not a university, the Social Science Research Center in Berlin. Mm-hmm. So until 1988, when I went to the United States, I had never really been an academic teacher. Mm-hmm. I had been a researcher.
Right.
And there was a great incentive for me to learn how to teach,
mm-hmm.
and to broaden my perspective. If you do research all the time,
right.
you become a little bit narrow.
Right.
And the challenge, I was then 42 years old, and the challenge to actually build a full teaching program,
mm-hmm.
in my home discipline of sociology and in industrial relations was something that was also, I thought, a great intellectual challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy afterwards to note that the students liked what I did, and that I got good reviews from the students. And up to the present day, I also now I'm director of Max Planck Institute, which also is not a teaching institution.
Mm-hmm.
I have an honorary appointment at the University of Cologne, and I teach one course every semester just for the fun of it. And I like teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Yes, teaching is just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and it forces you to rethink very
yes.
simple things, and then it's inspiring precisely because of it.
Yeah, I agree completely. Okay, so you came here with, let's say, ambitious, perhaps, expectations, and
yeah.
you really felt they were fulfilled.
I felt
yeah.
that in the 7 years that I was at Madison, I had a number of very good students. They were different between the two departments.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Industrial Relations Institute, many of the students that I had taught there, I'm still in touch with,
Ooh.
And I see how they grow and how they how their careers are developing. And this is a sort of really satisfying thing. I go to conferences and I meet former students. You know that feeling,
oh.
too.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, how would you describe the difference between industrial relations and sociology graduate students?
Yeah, the industrial relations students were a more diverse group.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were sort of very practically oriented, and they wanted to go into industry or
right.
Public sector employment. Others had a sort of academic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed teaching a class that was mixed between, also that included people who had at least some experience in real life,
mm-hmm.
in addition to being a student.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to make this productive, you understand? So,
yeah.
so that people would reflect on their own experiences and do this in class. The sociology classes were more, yeah, in a strict sense, more academic.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, you had a much broader literature. See, one of the things that I very early began to enjoy in at Madison was, in addition to the more disciplinary focus in industrial relations, to also teach very fundamental introduction to sociology,
mm-hmm.
theoretical sociology, and these things. So then these were different courses.
Right.
Also in sociology, I had a great number of students who, in fact, some of them, very interesting, some of them are now in Germany. my first graduate student was an American, Karen Shire. She's now a professor at the University of Duisburg, which is about 100 kilometers from here.
Really?
And she's very, very successful, because from Madison she went to Japan to teach at the Christian University of Tokyo.
Huh.
And then she went to Germany, and she's of course fluent in Japanese, of course in American, in German,
yeah.
and she knows all these three countries. Now she's a very well-established school professor at this university.
Gosh, I would think so. What talent.
Yeah, it was extremely interesting that I met her in Madison. So there is a sort of long list of students. In fact, Charlie Techney. Charlie?
Right.
Charlie is now director of a business school in Copenhagen.
Really?
And we are in touch often, and he visited here.
Yeah, he's a very interesting, talented guy.
Yeah.
Now, did you see anything? Well, by the time, just before you left, I think you shifted full-time to sociology.
Yeah.
Did you see anything in the wind that might indicate the Institute was on the road to downhill?
No, I don't think that was the reason. It was the social department. I had started to build together with Joel Rogers the economic sociology program in the department, and then in addition we had set up this research center, CAUS, Center on Wisconsin Strategy,
right.
And so I was so fully involved in the social department that I thought that I would focus my, administrative involvement, departmental involvement, exclusively on the department.
Right.
I continued to teach, as you know, at the Industrialization Institute.
Right.
My courses were not affected by that.
Yeah. Okay. I put the wrong cast on the question. Aside from where you were, did you see anything that suggested trouble for industrial relations?
It was in the air.
In the air.
People talked about. I remember Tom Cokin in Madison, and he said we have to defend the discipline,
right.
And it's breaking away somewhere else.
Right.
Thank God it's not in Madison, and so on. But there was something in the air. Yes, it's a long time ago, but it was clear at the time that, for example, people were beginning to talk about human resource management as an alternative or as a supplement to industrialism.
Right. Do you think, obviously, the Institute, was disbanded last summer.
Yeah.
And based from your perspective, do you see anything that might have been done to, rejuvenate it or reinvent it that would have saved it?
I was too far away at the time.
Right.
I remember that. I remember a lot of emails that arrived here, and former students and colleagues saying what a shame it was that it was now being closed down. But I was too far away to be of any help or to have any constructive ideas.
Yeah, right. I can understand that, because even I, I've retired since 1998.
Yeah.
You get involved in other things and it sort of slips away from you. You may remember there was some kind of a quality reinvestment program report that in about 1992 that was very damning of all interdisciplinary programs. And that, I think, colored a lot of people's opinions. And we had to dig ourselves out of a hole to reestablish some level of contact and prestige with the dean. And that was really, I think, the beginning. But you were probably there, but I can easily see where that might have slipped away from your memory.
Yeah, it's now that you're saying it, it's sort of a foggy memory. But I tell you, I didn't really believe it would happen because it was so obvious that among the students in the program, there were really very good students. And for example, one of the students that I supervised, Bas Tijani.
Oh, yeah.
He was fluent in French. He was fluent in English. He is now dean of a business school in Abidjan in Africa.
Really?
And still has good connections to the United States, sends me mail, and so on. So it was clear that these people would grow and that they would play a role in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. what do you see? Do you see any problems for the field of industrial relations in the U.S.?
If you ask me whether we would need a systematic, serious study of work relations and of how the world of work and the regulation of work is changing, then the answer is obvious. We need that,
right.
And we don't have enough of it. We don't have, by far, we don't have enough of it. Nothing has changed as fast as the employment relationship in the last 10 or 15 years. It's incredible. But it seems that due to ideological preoccupations or whatever, people do not want to study this seriously as a subject of social science, a sort of economic, neoclassical economic theory.
Right.
For the rest, I think it's sort of politically not correct, for example, to point to the problems of insecurity in employment, the downgrading of jobs, and so on. All of these things are very, very important. But since the union movement is so has been weakened so much, there is no social pressure anymore for a concentrated, systematic effort at exploring all this.
And I saw in the New York Times just a day or so ago, union membership has fallen by another percentage point, I think it was.
Yeah.
Oh, quite dramatic.
It is amazing.
Yeah, it is. And they provided a voice that was obviously very important in maintaining some kind of balance. Well, do you have the same problem in Germany? Aren't the unions losing some of their power there, too?
We are always trying to keep up with you. We we lag 10 years behind, but we're making great efforts to get where you are.
Yeah. You know, one thought that has occurred to me in thinking about all of this, and that is that the Institute, you know, you could regard it as like a meteor shooting through the sky, ascending in 1947 and maybe reaching a peak in the late 60s, early 70s, and slowly moving down and, you know, poof, the light is gone out right now. And it may have served a purpose, a very important purpose, whose time has ended, except that it could have been reinvented along the lines that you suggest.
That's probably so.
Yeah.
And it's not that we do not have problems in the world of work that would need public attention and some sort of organization from below, so that there is pressure for politics and employers to actually address these problems. We need that urgently.
Right.
But we live in a world, I think, in which those that are weak in the labor market do not have the capacities to organize, and those that are strong think perhaps realistically that they don't need an organization to get what they want.
And so this
sort of combination of the weak and the strong in what you call solidarity, that is not very, very frequent.
Another problem is that the disciplines all seem to be drawing in upon themselves. Economics is certainly becoming, you know, the idea of industrial relations now would just be dismissed by most people. Business schools are more interested in turning out MBAs. And here we do have Schwab and so on, who are very focused on scholarly PhDs. Law people, you know, who knows what they're doing. Sociology, you know, there is a potential contact, but I just have a feeling that somehow departments, the mentality in them narrowed, and this idea of reaching across disciplinary boundaries has weakened greatly.
I think so.
Yeah.
I see that here too.
You do.
Of course, on the other hand, it is also clear that this is not a healthy development. And many people see this. But then, of course, since the number of students has increased and you need to get all those papers published, and this is the pathology of the university these days. Mm-hmm. It becomes sort of self-centered and closes itself off to other concerns, because the only concern is how to get published and then to get tenure.
Yeah, that is very sad. And there was an economist named Harold Groves in the department who died about 1970. He had just retired. And he ran for the legislature back in 1931 to help pass the unemployment compensation bill. He did all kinds of things. He was the leader of the Unitarian Church when they built the new meeting house. Yeah. Now, if you did that, you'd just be regarded as a dilettante.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've responded very clearly to all the questions I have. Anything else that you want to say?
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile to really understand the reasons why this happened.
Right.
It is not only, during this conversation it became clear to me, it is important for our study of the world of work, but it's also important for our understanding of where science goes.
Mm-hmm.
If it is true that a lively and, in my memory, very productive interdisciplinary organization like the IRI has to give way to purely disciplinary concerns, then something is wrong with the way universities work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that disciplines are extremely important, because you cannot have interdisciplinary work without a safe grounding of every participant in their own discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's only disciplinary work, then it becomes sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have a good mixture in a university of places where people develop the tools of their discipline and places where they apply this together with others to real-world problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if the latter sort of institution is no longer provided, then the university makes a very big mistake.
Yeah. One of the interesting developments after you left in the late 90s was this notion that there should be more interdisciplinary work.
Yeah.
And Chancellor David Ward, who had formerly been head of the grad school, talked about, you know, we operated in a bunch of silos with no connecting link among the silos.
Yeah.
And so they instituted a program of what they call, name slips my mind, but where you would make joint or triple appointments in three different departments. And so money was allocated to departments that came in with an agreement among three of them to do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So paradoxically, industrial relations is cut off. And meanwhile, they're encouraging these new interdisciplinary programs that are often very complicated administratively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because how do you get three different departments to agree on any single person?
Yeah.
So it's really upside down.
Upside down.
Yeah. Upside down.
Lee, I very much appreciate your effort to write this up and to represent it to other people also. This experience must be preserved.
Yes, right. And actually, I put in for a session at the Boston meetings of the now LERA.
Okay.
The formerly IRRA.
Yeah.
And where several of us will appear and try to present the results of what we're doing. Wolfgang, one of my greatest pleasures when I directed IRRI was attracting you to Madison. That was a real great experience, and you were so valuable. You provided such richness to the place,
and
it was wonderful.
I very much enjoyed being there, and I'm eternally grateful for having had the opportunity to be there.
Good. Good. Okay, you'll be
all
hearing from us eventually. And, one other thing.
Yeah.
I have to send you a permission form, and I'll fax it to you. You have to fill it out, but then you can indicate if you want to embargo this for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, although you haven't said anything that is libelous. But anyway, then if you could fax that back to me, and I'll get it to you a little bit later in an hour or so.
Do you have my fax number?
Yes, I do. It's 402.
Okay. Yep. Maybe it will be back only on Wednesday.
No rush.
Okay.
No rush at all. Thank you so much, and my very best to your wife and to your children, who must now be in college.
Yes, Ben is in medical school.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.